want to remind you, get you a bulletin out there. It has some announcements in it. And also, remember the Harold West family. Doug Harold West passed away this morning. So remember that family in prayer. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul writing to this young man, Timothy, of which he called him his son, though he wasn't. He says in verse 10 of chapter 3, 2 Timothy, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and in Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me." Out of them all the Lord delivered me. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise through salvation, unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So he commends Timothy for having learned the Scriptures from the time he was a child. And we know that, you know, he came from a godly family, and his grandmother, Lois, etc. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." You suppose that's true? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. Isn't it just really tough when you invest a lot of your time, energy into a project or something, and it doesn't work out? The Scripture is profitable for doctrine or for truth, and it's profitable for reproof. It'll tell you, no. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, may grow. He wants us to grow spiritually. He wants us to grow emotionally. He wants us to be prepared. The word perfect here means to be in a position to do what you're supposed to be able to do. You know, if you break a leg off of a chair, that chair is not going to be profitable as a chair. Now you attach that leg again, repair that, and then it's profitable for sitting in. And so it's not just being profitable for something, but that you would grow and be able to be used for what you're supposed to be. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I would like for you to... what I want us to think about here, turn to Philippians. I want you to go to Philippians, then we're going to go back in the Old Testament. I want you to look at something here at Philippians. We've talked about this several times, but chapter 2 of Philippians, where Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Philippians 2, 12. So, this is what I refer to as applied Christianity. You're supposed to let your walk with God affect your everyday life. The Word of God, which Paul says is profitable, all Scripture is inspired by God. Can you imagine that we mere mortal people can have a word from God? You ever see, you see these cartoons where people climb these high mountains to get up there to the wise man and they ask him the secret of life or something, you know. And there's this guy sitting there and he's got a long beard, you know, and he's supposed to be so wise. If it was all that wise, why would he be up on top of that mountain? And also, wonder how he lives up there, you know. But it's seeking wisdom. And God wants to give us direction for our lives. So we are to work on our salvation or our union with Christ. We have a position with Creator God who knows everything, really. He knows everything. He knows everything. He can do anything. And He loves you. No, I mean He loves you. He doesn't just like you. He loves us. God loves you. He loved you not because you were good. He loved you before you were good. He loved you before you were one of His children by recreation, so to speak, by salvation. So we are now saved. We're in union with God. He calls us His children, and we can call Him our Father. And so we are in union with God. So with this union, He said, work out this. You're connected with God. Work on it. Do something with it. Okay, now this is really important, folks. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God. The reason we should work these things out, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Can that possibly be? I mean, God, we're talking about God. We're not talking about a figment of our imagination. We're talking about not talking about things that we learn. And we know it. And so what we learned works in it. We're talking about God. He said, it is God which works in you. Both to will. He works in you to will. If Scripture says if we ask according to His will, what His will is really moves things. If you can determine His will, you can talk to God and things will happen. So, He wants to work in us His will. God works in us to will. He has a will for our lives. God, the one that put the planets out there in place. The one that made all the laws that our whole universe operates under. He has a will for your life. And He wants to not only will have a will for your life, but He wants to do His will. And this is His good pleasure. I mean, this is what God wants to do. We haven't even begun to comprehend the love of God. Well, I mean, and no wonder Ephesians says, you know, that we cannot know the height, the depth, nor the length, nor the breadth of the love of God. We can't. It's beyond comprehension. We cannot comprehend the love of God. But we're going to try to. I want you to go back in the Old Testament to the book of Deuteronomy. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29. Chapter 29. And so he is, Moses has, he's sharing with the people a word from God, which is, if you will do this, I will bless you. And if you don't, you're in trouble. And it's called the blessings and the cursings. And so God tells them what will happen. Now this is him working his will and his good pleasure in our lives. God is interested in you individually. God cares about you. He cares about you. He cares about everything about you. Just as though you're the only person on planet Earth. He cares about you. And he has a will for you, and he wants to communicate with you his will. And so that's why we need what Paul says, the fellowship of the Spirit. Because his ways are not our ways. Our ways have to do with this area. His ways have to do with this area. And so, you know the story. Jesus said that he had to go to the Father so the Spirit could come. So that we could communicate with God. And so, Moses has given the people of Israel the blessings and the cursings and such. So we're in Deuteronomy chapter 29, and we're going to start reading at verse 9. Follow with me, or follow with me on the screen, okay? We're going to do some reading here. He says, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Wow, would you like that? Keep the words of this covenant. God made a covenant with them. You do this and this, and I will do thus and thus. If you don't, it's not going to work out that way, he says. So, keep the words. I want to challenge your thinking on words. The word. Words are powerful. You know, you can encourage someone with words, or you can get a black eye, literally. Somebody may punch you out for something you say. Huh? And so, words are important. That inspired word of God calls Jesus the Word. Words are important. Words are important. He says we need to confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Well, now, it doesn't mean you have to say them out loud. You know, it's amazing how we can get so narrow-minded sometimes. I remember talking to a man, elderly man, in the upstairs of a nursing home. And this old gentleman, he was rough as they come. I mean, he was mean. And he gave the nurses a mean time. And he griped about everything and cursed about everything. And I remember going upstairs and witnessing this old man. And he gave his heart to Jesus. But he couldn't talk. Man could not talk. But by his actions, he let you know that he was not happy. You know, he would make noises, and the nurse said, you know, these are the things he did before he couldn't talk. You know, that's his way of cursing. And would reach out and punch her or whatever, you know. He's just a mean man. And so I talked to him about Jesus, and you know, if he would, in his mind, ask Jesus to forgive him of his sins, that he would. And he did. And he got this biggest smile on his face. And the nurse said it was such a shame that he cannot become a Christian because he couldn't confess his sins. Well, of course, that's not true. And then, a few days later, she told me, she said she couldn't understand this man. She knew he wasn't saved, but he had changed so much. And there was more to it. You know, I mean, the guy had really, really changed. But she didn't feel like he had met the requirements to be saved, to become a Christian. But he did. It changed his life, and he knew he had. Okay, so the power of words. See, and we can often say things that we do not enunciate. Huh? We can say, we can show our pleasure or displeasure and not say a word. Word. And so words are important. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones. Yeah, but words will destroy you. Word, a lot in the scripture about words. Okay, so he says, keep the words of my covenant. Now follow with me here and bear in mind about the importance of words. And he's going to talk about righteousness. So man, that's a religious term, righteousness. A definition of righteousness, and this is mine, not Strong's Concordance, but to align God's word with your life as God works in your life to will and to do his good pleasure. To align our lives with his word. That's righteousness. That's us doing what God's word says. Okay? He's trying to do a work in our lives and we do contrary to what he says. That's not righteousness. Righteousness is us doing what is right as he works in our lives. Okay, follow with me. Moses says to the millions of people, literally, maybe 3-4 million at this time, you stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of the wood unto the drawer of the water, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God makes with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself. Wow. And that he may be unto thee a God as he has said unto thee, as he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant, this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that's not here with us this day. For you know how we dwelt in the land of Egypt and how we came through the nations which we passed by. And you've seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, Moses says, which were among them. You saw their idols. Lest there should be among you a man, a woman, a family, a tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of other nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, or what Moses is saying, that he'll bless himself in his heart, and he'll say, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, Moses says. But then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under the heaven. The Lord shall separate him unto evil of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in the book of the law. Note, so that the generation to come of your children, there shall rise up after you, and the strangers that shall come from a foreign land shall say, when they see the plagues of this land, and the sicknesses which the Lord hath put upon him, laid upon him, and that the whole land is like brimstone and salt and burning, and it's not sown, it doesn't bear, nor any grass grows therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Admon, Zobim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this in this land? What means the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they've forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. They went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled, Moses says, against this land, to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger, in wrath, and in great indignation, cast them into another land as it is this day. Look at this verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Wow. The secret things. There are secret things that belong unto God. See, God knows everything, but he has some secrets. And he has secrets that he only shares with his people. And he says so. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But, note, those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. See, God is wanting to show us things. He said that we may do all the words of the law. God revealed. He shows us things. He wants to show us things. And he says forever. He's talking about every generation. Every generation. Going back even to this time. 1400 years before Christ. God has wanted to show his people things. And so this is why he gives them the blessings and the cursings and the laws and the rituals and such. He's trying to show people who he is and what he wants to do in their lives. And so they hear the word, and the word is so awesomely important. The word, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, verse 29, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. And then if we might skip down in chapter 30, verse 15. See, he says, Moses says in verse 15, I've set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, if your heart be turned away. He says, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land. Wow. the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Moses says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I said before you, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. Wow. He has a plan for our lives, and it has to do with his word. His word, going way back here to over 1,400 years before Jesus came on the scene. And God is still trying to tell his people to look unto his word. We are coming to the time that the Old Testament prophesied of. There's going to be a famine of the Word of God. We're working towards that, you know, in this country. When this nation does away with the Word of God, the whole world basically will be, because we're one of the most dynamic of any nation for sending out the gospel, this nation. That's why the devil so hates the United States. But our opportunity is fast getting away from us if we're not careful. The opportunity of not only spreading the gospel but for our nation, our youngest generation, the little kids of today. I feel really sorry for them. I really do, because, wow, tough day coming up, folks. Really tough day. Not just in this nation, but all over the world. Things are changing so rapidly. And so we have one remedy available to us, and that is the Word of God. So Paul told Timothy, study the Word. Study the Word that you may show yourself approved unto God. Now, we go through all of this, and he tells them what they need to do. But I want to remind you that we live in a short time period called the Day of Grace. Grace. You know, you can't, you know, what Moses told them, here's what you've got to do. But what it all boils down to, and we read this, is to love the Lord with all your heart. And they asked Jesus that. Hey, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, you do that, you fulfill the law, Moses, and the prophets. So, folks, we need to discipline ourselves to study the Word. What does the Word say? Now, we know some things that's going to happen, Scripture tells us. There is going to be, around the world, there's going to be a great falling away. Okay? Now, we look for a great revival. We don't know that that's going to happen. My, we'd sure like to see it happen. But we do know the love of many is going to wax colder and colder. Yes. Amen? Amen? That's what it says. In the last days, people are going to get lukewarm. They're not going to be passionate about God. They're going to want to coast like his word is nice. This is not nice. This is the word of God. Amen. I mean, it really, really is the word of God. Amen. And so, excuse me, Jesus says his words or spirit in life. Wow. Life. So I ask you a question. What is your passion level, your passion temperature for the Word of God? Do you really believe in your mind, in your heart, that you need the Word of God? That you really need the Word of God to grow, to maintain where you are? Do you really believe that? Do you think you can make it without it? Well, you might think, well, no, I know a lot about the Word, and so, yeah, I think I can make it. But times are changing, and we need the Word like never before, because the Word is life. The Word is life. And, well, we never dreamed we would see a day like today, most of us. And when we were early 20s or whatever, starting to figure out which way our head ought to be screwed on, which way would be the right way. And we never thought we would see this day in our lives when there'd be such an indifference in the Word of God. But there is. There is. Things are changing. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to hide the Word in your heart. As Paul said to Timothy, hey, study the Word. Study the Word. Study the Word. And you might think, well, I don't understand it. Well, remember, a ministry of the Holy Spirit, a ministry, is to remind us of the Word. And you can't be reminded if you don't put it in there in the first place. The Holy Spirit can't bring it back to your mind if you didn't mind it. We have to put His Word in our hearts. I'd like to challenge you to pray about this. Pray and say, God, give me a passion for Your Word. Now, don't decide you're going to read Leviticus or Hezekiah or something. I'm just kidding. There's no Hezekiah. Okay, but read the Gospel of John. Read the New Testament. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read Psalms and Proverbs. Jesus read Psalms a lot. He quoted Psalms a lot. He quoted Proverbs. But read the New Testament, the Gospels. You say, man, I've been reading Revelation over and over and over. Can't understand it. Well, a big part of it's not written to you or for you. So don't worry about it. Just focus on the Word and studying the Word. Study the Word to show yourself approved unto God. Because He is wanting to reveal some things to us. Wanting to reveal His Word to us. He's wanting to guide our lives. And I'm concerned about that. I want Him to guide my life because I see in the Word. We read it here, you know. In Timothy, there's going to be deceivers and seducers that's going to come and try and draw you away from God. Mm-hmm. The Word promises that. So we need to be praying for one another, but we've got to stay in the Word. Encourage one another in the Word. And I want to say to those who are streaming with us, if at all possible, you need to be in the house of God. You need the fellowship of the saints. You need to be in the house of God. You need to be in the house of God because God's Word says so. And that's a pretty good reason. I want to mention again of some of the food items out in the fellowship hall. Well, we really encourage you to go out